Well, good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Well, welcome to Conduct a Successful Pilot Deployment of Microsoft Intune. My name is Jeff Bowler. I'm a program manager on the Microsoft Intune product group, part of the customer experience team. I have a couple colleagues with me today.
Paul Goodson, also a senior program manager in the Intune product group.
And likewise, Robert Nishi, also with the product group.
Well, our team is lucky enough to travel all over the world, working with customers, helping them assisting them with their Intune deployment, accelerating their deployment. And our goal today is to guide you through the end-to-end process of the Intune deployment, and then also share the experiences that we have gained through working with customers. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the agenda for today. We have three sections. The overview section, we're going to discuss Intune deployment planning, which is very, very important. We'll then talk about the different Intune deployment options that are available. We'll move to Intune deployment section of the presentation. That's where we'll talk about and also walk through the end-to-end process of doing both an Intune cloud-only deployment and then also an Intune man-without-enrollment deployment. And we'll end the session then with next steps. We'll talk about additional resources. We'll also take any questions that you have. And speaking of questions, I'd like for you to, if you can, please hold your questions to the end of the session. We have a lot of content to cover in a very short period of time, but we promise we'll answer all your questions. We'll stick around after the session. So how's that sound? Good? All right, let's start. So having a successful Intune deployment starts with having a good plan. When we work with customers, we engage with customers, one of the activities that we conduct is an Intune deployment planning session. This planning session can last anywhere from a couple hours to a half a day. One of the very first things that we do when we start the Intune deployment session is we ask, what are your goals related to your Intune deployment? Now, how many times do you think when we ask that question, they may not know the answer right away, right? They have to kind of think about that. What are our goals, you know, and what is the scope, and et cetera? So here's a couple things that we hear from customers. And to give you some perspective, I've engaged with about 20 customers, global customers, helping them with their Intune deployment. And here's a couple things that they say. First of all, you know, we really don't have an enterprise mobility management solution today. We're managing our devices with Exchange Active Sync. And we want to better manage and better secure our mobile devices. Well, that makes sense, right? That totally makes sense. But probably what is more common is customers that are transitioning from a current MDM solution, and they may have thousands of devices enrolled into this system, and they're wanting to transition to Intune. And they'll say to us, why we're transitioning to Intune is because we want to have better integration with Azure AD. We also have an Office 365 project. We want to have integration there. And lastly, but maybe even more importantly, we want our user experience to be better. We want these users to be able to use applications that they know instead of having to use maybe the applications that come with the MDM solution. In addition, when we get involved, their timeline for deployment, pretty short. We're talking about, on average, 3 to 4 months to transition thousands of users into the Intune system. So that's where we start. What are your goals? And that gives us a really good foundation to move forward. The next piece is even more important. So we ask them, what are your use cases? You guys have heard these use case scenarios thrown around a lot probably this week. Corporate use case, personal use case, BYOD. We talk to them about that, and we'll say, are you planning to use Intune to manage your corporate use cases, your personal, a combination of both? Now, what is important, once they've identified those use cases, is what? What are the organizational groups that fit underneath those use cases? Why do we need to know the organizational groups that fit underneath the use case? That is how we align requirements. And when you think about the requirements, those are important because that's how you're actually going to take advantage of the different capabilities in the solution. We also talk about the device platform. So what we see pretty commonly is corporate use case scenarios, maybe they support one device. Let's say iOS. And then on the BYOD side, they have it broader support. iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone. The Windows side on BYOD with Windows 10 is something that we are seeing a lot. Customers that are wanting to manage Windows 10 devices that are BYOD, like a mobile device, and have better security and management around that. And then from the standpoint of requirements, we begin like this. Do you want to restrict access to Exchange Online, to SharePoint Online, have secure email? Yes, we want to do that. What about your device settings? Is your PIN going to be 6 characters? Is it going to be numeric? Is it going to be alphanumeric? Do you have differences between these PIN settings across these different groups? What about your email profile? Are you going to have an email profile, or are you going to be actually deploying Outlook as the email client? And then Wi-Fi, VPN, et cetera. And then the next piece is important, because we're talking about applications. What applications are you going to be deploying and managing? Web applications, for instance, store applications, and then also line of business. And then are any of those applications, is it important to have some type of software restriction policy, or what we would call MAN policy, aligned with those applications? So we go through all of that, and this paints this picture. There's no more mystery about what your requirements are. You talked about your goals. You talked about your use cases. You know the groups that are underneath each use case and the sizes. How many users, for instance? What are the devices are they using? And you've painted a picture of the requirements. And these requirements then can be aligned to the capabilities of Intune. So once we do that, where's the next step? The next step is what I like to call is where the rubber meets the road, the Intune rollout. When we talk about Intune deployment, I really think of it as onboarding the environment, getting it all configured and setting up. But when we talk about rollout, what is that about? It's about users enrolling into the service. So having a rollout plan makes a lot of sense. Number one, who are you targeting for the rollout? Who's going to be first? It's pretty typical to see organizations starting with a small group of IT members, right? That's a safe place to start. Then we see them broaden to a larger IT group, maybe an entire IT group within the organization. And as part of that process, maybe they have some business groups part of that. Maybe they actually have some executives as part of that. And then after that, after they've got feedback and they've done their refinement, et cetera, then they start their full production rollout. And how they determine who's going to be rolled out first in terms of phases, there's a lot of considerations. It could be geography. It could be politics. It could be business cycle. It could be size. There's a lot of things. Every company is different. When you think about a rollout and how many devices and users are enrolled within these organizations, so Paul and Robert and myself and others work with organizations that do anything from 1,000 users a month to 1,000 users a week to 1,000 users or more a day. So you can see when you're doing that type of rollout, large-scale rollout, this planning process is really important. And then the enrollment approaches, most organizations will do what we call a self-service. The user's responsible. You're providing guidance to that user. But then there's also what we call the white glove experience. That's where basically Paul or Robert or myself or you guys are working with specific individuals. Maybe it's your executive team, maybe some other team, and showing them how to do this. Now, probably I guess it was about a year and a half ago, I was working with an organization, and they did something that was really, really smart, and it was something that I communicated to all the customers that I was working with and partners. They just happened to have a tech fair that was coming up, their annual tech fair. Their enrollment plan was aligned with the tech fair, and what that allowed is on the early stages of their Intune rollout, they had the Intune table at the tech fair, and they had done some communication to certain groups of users, come to the tech fair and enroll into Intune. And so I said, hey guys, this is a great idea. Let me know how it goes. And you know what they said to me? Jeff, we want you to come on site. So I said, okay, I'll come on site. And then, you know, when I came on site, what they did? Here I have the Microsoft shirt on. They had their own shirt on. I won't tell you anything about the color in that because I might give it away, but I went, I put the shirt on, I'm standing behind the table, and I have these users now coming up to me, and they're like, I have a printer problem, and well, I'm not here for printer problems. I'm like the, you know, you want to enroll to Intune. But what I found was like, you had these users that are like, I'm here for Intune. They may not even know what Intune was. I'm here for Intune, put Intune on my system, right? So that was great. And behind the counter, the Intune counter, they had their help desk. This is how they were training their help desk. The help desk was working with users face to face. They were looking at this enrollment process. They were seeing different issues they had, and they could actually go, hey. So they had their leads do this. The leads were able to share with other leads. And I thought that was fantastic. And since that day that I worked with that customer, I evangelized what they were doing to many. And for many large global companies, they try to do that, whether there's a tech forward plan or not. So that's a couple of examples on the enrollment approach. And then lastly, we talk about the strategy and plan in three areas that is sometimes overlooked on a deployment: communications, training, and support. Communications is, when I talk about communications, it's communications to your users, to the business groups. Some organizations have done so many projects, they have this down. They'll send the T-6, the T-4, the T-2, the T-1, and it's here, right? Go ahead and do it, which is great. Some organizations may have just a few, just maybe a couple emails to the user. But what we found is this. The more communications that you have with the user, it's generally better. Because how many folks read the first email? Right? How many folks read? And we saw with some organizations a direct correlation related to the number of emails that was sent to the user and enrollment adoption. You know, you can do all this planning and everything, but what do you need the user to do? Enroll. So more communications really helps. Now, training. Training, two major areas in training. Training your help desk. Many times, right, guys, when we're working with customers, it's kind of something they really didn't think about too much. So that's something that we help them with, making sure that the help desk is trained, making sure that if a user runs into problems, it's a good experience. And then the training of the user. So some people will have a kickoff meeting. People dial in and Skype, they show the enrollment experience, talk about what they're getting, et cetera. They may have emails, they have websites, Yammer, et cetera, enrollment guides, videos. We created an enrollment guide that has links to videos, and this is something that you can customize and something that you can utilize. But here's the thing. Just as important as it is to train someone on how to enroll a device, it's also important to show someone how to unenroll from a BYOD perspective. BYOD, people are switching devices, right? So that's key. Now, what's the other important piece that you want to provide some level of awareness and training on? It's not just about Intune. You may be introducing new applications, mobile applications to these users. One example I'll tell you is this. This company was using another MDM solution, and this MDM solution had an email client. And this organization, the users in this organization, had been using that email client for a year and a half. They use that email client so much that they really didn't know, some of these members didn't know how to use the native email client on their device. This was overlooked a little bit, and what you had is users calling help desk and going, hey, where's my calendar, and where's my contacts, and how do I do this, and how do I do that? This, and then also another example is this, Outlook. It's not just Intune that's being rolled out. You could be rolling out Outlook. So we're not talking about a class like that's hours long. We're just talking about just being diligent, providing enough information so that people know, the applications that they're getting, have some guidance. And then support, lastly. I always ask this question, how are you going to support Intune? And sometimes, like the goal question, it takes a while for them to think through it. I'll say, how many tiers do you have? Tier 1, 2, 3? What's the responsibilities to Tier 1 or desk side for Intune? How about Tier 2? How about Tier 3? So thinking through that is important because, as I mentioned, you can do all this great work, but you're not able to help the user in an efficient and fast manner, it's a bad user experience. One customer that I worked with, another best practice I'll share, they were getting ready to roll out a few thousand, I think 4,000 users in Europe and in North America. They were doing it on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And for those two big waves that they had, they basically brought in tier 1, 2, and 3 on a bridge on Skype. So that when a user had an issue and they called tier 1, and if tier 1 didn't know, they could ask tier 2 very quickly. And if tier 2 didn't know, they could ask tier 3. Real life, real time example. This is another customer that I said, great, great idea. Let me know how it goes. And what do you think they said to me? Come on out, visit us. So they didn't make me wear the shirt, but I sat there and I had, the headphones on. And so I'm like, okay, I'm interested. What type of issues they're going to run into? A user can't enroll. Tier 1 types in. Username not recognized. Of course, I know what's going on. Let's see what happens. Tier 1, I don't know what this is. To Tier 2, they can't enroll. Tier 2, what is the error message? Username can't, username not recognized. Tier 2 goes, is this person, were they invited to Intune? And like, I don't know. They ask Tier 3, can you check to see if this user is actually have a license for Intune? Guess what? No license. Tier 3 says to Tier 2, we'll put them in the group. They'll get licensed within 20 minutes. They can re-enroll in 20 minutes. How long do you think all that took? Less than 10 minutes. The end user got responsive, and they were able to get back in right away. So that's key. Now, all this stuff that we do, the outcome is this high-level deployment plan that we do, and that is the foundation for design, your onboarding, your testing, and it also helps better prepare you then for the Intune rollout and the support of the environment. So now let's switch gears and talk about the different deployment options. There's three different deployment options that we have with Intune. Intune Cloud Only, Intune Hybrid, and Intune Man Without Enrollment. Let's talk a little bit about each one. All right, so Intune Cloud Only, like the name sounds, the Intune service is in the cloud. It is managed by a web-based administrative console that we call Intune Admin Portal. The devices are enrolled and managed over the internet. And we support platforms of iOS, Android, Windows, Windows Phone, and Mac. Now, this is a very popular, becoming more popular, deployment option that organizations are choosing. The next solution is Intune Hybrid. This is Configuration Manager integrated with Intune to allow Configuration Manager providing the capability to manage mobile devices. The management is done through the Configuration Manager Management Console. Devices are enrolled and managed over the internet, just like cloud only. Why customers like this solution is Configuration Manager has been implemented, it's strategic to them. They're able to leverage their investment, and more importantly, they have administrators that know how to use the tool. So if you're a configuration manager administrator, and you know how to add a configuration policy for a PC and deploy it, you know how to do it for a mobile device. If you're a configuration manager administrator, and you know how to add and deploy an application for a PC, you know how to add and deploy it for a mobile device. So there's a lot of leverage there. Now, the last solution that we have is called Intune Man Without Enrollment, and you've seen a lot of people talking about this in demonstrations. This is a solution that is about managing the applications, not the device. The Intune Man service is in the cloud. It's ministered through a web-based console. In this case, happens to be the Azure portal. And the applications that it's managing have been integrated with the Intune SDK. So we're talking about Office applications, Outlook, OneDrive, also third-party applications, and even applications that you can integrate the Intune SDK with. And by doing that, we're associating a MAM policy, a software restriction policy, to this application, and we're controlling the behavior. For instance, preventing cut, copy, paste, or save as, or sharing of that corporate data with a non-corporate data application or non-managed app. The platforms that we support for Intune Man Without Enrollment today is Android and then also iOS. So we're going to talk more about the Intune Cloud-only solution in detail and the Intune Man Without Enrollment solution. The Intune Hybrid solution, there's been different sessions on throughout this week that you can go ahead and check out. All right, at this time, what I'd like to do is go ahead and transition to Paul to talk about Intune deployment, specifically Intune deployment for cloud only.
Thanks, Jeff.
Great.
So as Jeff said, I'm going to talk about Intune cloud only deployment and talk about how we get started with the basics. We're also going to talk about the prerequisites. So I'm going to walk you through the prerequisites that you're going to need in place to have a successful Intune evaluation. And then we're going to jump over, we're going to go do demos. I'm going to show you the admin experience in the admin console as the IT pro would see it. And then I want to show you the end user experience. So we're going to enroll some devices and show you what that looks like from an end user's perspective. So some of the prerequisites, obviously, if you want to use Intune, you need an Intune subscription. If your company already owns Intune, you can use your existing subscription. If not, I'll show you where you can go to get a trial. If you want to do some of the really neat things you've seen this week using the Office mobile apps on iOS and Android and the application restriction policies there that you're going to see in some of the demos from Robert later, you're going to need an Office 365 subscription. And we're going to need certificates to enable certain platforms. So we'll walk through that and the prerequisites when we're setting that up and configuring the console. And then you're going to need your identity. So if you're already using Office 365, Dynamics CRM, Skype for Business in the cloud, this is probably already taken care of for you and your organization. But if it's not, Azure Active Directory Connect tool is really awesome. It's a very simple tool. It'll walk you through setting up your ADFS servers. It'll set up directory synchronization. And then it'll bring your corporate domain credentials up to your Azure Active Directory tenant that's shared across all your Microsoft cloud services. The next piece we may need would be the Intune on-premise connector. If you're in Office 365 already, you don't need this on-premise piece. If you're using Exchange 2013, Exchange 2016, any of those types of products on-premise, you want to do conditional access. And let's step back. What does conditional access mean? What conditional access is basically the idea that, hey, you have to be enrolled, it has to be a managed device, and it has to be compliant with the policies that I, as the IT administrator, have set to be able to get access to these resources. So if you're doing Exchange on-prem, you'll want to put this piece in place as well. It's a software package you download from the Intune admin console, and then you'll install it locally on your on-premise network and on a server. The next piece you may need, also an optional component, is the Intune certificate connector. So if you're doing things like certificate-based authentication for Wi-Fi or VPN, you'll want to put this in place. This will be the bridge between your on-premise certificate authority and the Intune cloud service so that you can deploy certificates to your mobile devices. All right. So we're going to jump over to the lab. We're going to show you how you can set up an Intune subscription. We're going to create some users, make sure they're licensed. We're going to create some user groups. We're going to enable our device platforms, make sure everything's ready to go for enrollment. Then we're going to create some policies to configure our devices. We're going to deploy applications, and then we're going to show you the end user experience in rolling devices. So let's jump over here. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is if you don't have Intune already, you can sign up for a trial. Trials are 30 days by default. Search engine of your choice, you can just search microsoftintune.com. That's the easiest way to remember it. It's the very first link. And in the top right, you'll see this Try Now button. So if you click Try Now, basically, it's going to ask for what country you're in, your name, your email address, very basic information. And then in a three-step process, you'll have your Intune trial created. So one thing you'll create in this process will be your tenant ID. And you may hear us at Microsoft refer to this, you know, quite often. It will be in the format of something.onmicrosoft.com. And so that tenant ID is shared across Office 365, Intune, any of the Microsoft cloud services. So we'll make sure that we're using the correct tenant ID that we want to use for our company, or adding Intune to the correct tenant ID if you already have Office 365 set up in your environment. All right, so once you've signed up for a trial, let's start by going to the Office 365 portal. Oops. Let me log in here. So once we log in, we'll need to go to the admin section.
Paul, does it always say good morning to you?
It does.
Okay, good.
Yes. It's very cheerful. All right. So once we're in the admin console here, on the left-hand side, we'll go to our users. Oh, it's still loading. So this time, we'll actually go to our users, and we'll look at our active users. So if the identity piece is already taken care of in your environment, and you have Office 365 set up, you'll see all of your domain credentials here. In this environment, you'll see we have some users that are unlicensed, and I want to go ahead and give these users Intune licenses, and I want to give them Office 365 licenses. So I'll choose a user here, and I see no product licenses have been assigned. I'm going to go ahead and change that. If you haven't specified a location, it will prompt you to put in a location. That'll be required. And then we just want to toggle the flag. So we'll turn on our Office 365 licenses, and we'll turn on our Intune licenses. And that's really all you've got to do. And you save that, and now this user is licensed for Intune. And we can go over and start configuring things in the Intune console. All right. So we're going to manage.microsoft.com. This is our Intune console. And so once this loads, we'll go ahead and start going through the prerequisites, making sure our platforms are enabled and we have our authority set. I think the Wi-Fi is a little bit congested here today. So, all right, so let's go to admin. And we want to start here at mobile device management. So under mobile device management, the first thing we want to look at here is we see this tenant is set to Microsoft Intune. So Jeff talked about a couple of options. One was standalone, cloud-only Intune. That's what this is set to. The other option was hybrid Intune. And if it's set to hybrid Intune, you wouldn't configure this from here. System Center Configuration Manager would do this in the background on your behalf. You would have no need to come into this admin console. We do have quite a few customers, surprisingly, who changed their mind about whether they would rather be standalone cloud-only Intune, or they would rather be hybrid Intune. So it's not really easy to change, so we want you to make the right decision up front. So we have a great document out on docs.microsoft.com to really guide you through the pros and cons and what might be best for your organization to make this selection correct the first time. But if you do make this incorrect, the kind of ramifications are that you'll need to call into our support, open a case, and they'll be able to change your management authority. Any devices that are enrolled in your test environment will need to be unenrolled and re-enrolled. So it's just easier if you can make this decision correctly up front. So when you first set up your tenant, you're going to see that Windows is ready to go, Windows Phone 8.1 is ready to go, Android's ready to go, and really all you'll need to configure for most customers is the iOS and Mac OS X management. So to do that, it's really a very easy three-step process. Step one is from the Intune console, we're going to download a certificate request. One suggestion I always give customers is when you name this file, name it something with your tenant name in it. Again, that tenant is something.onmicrosoft.com, so you can remember which tenant this certificate request was for. The next step will be to go to the Apple Push Certificates portal. So once we've downloaded this certificate request, you'll need an Apple ID. So I won't walk through this process, but with the Apple ID, you'll log in and you'll upload the certificate request we just created in the Intune console. One thing that's really important here, and I've had customers, we started using Intune about a year ago, and today we came in and none of our OS X devices are enrolling, they're not getting policy, everything's broken, what happened? And what we'll find out is that their Apple certificate has expired. And then I'll say, okay, great. All right, so all we've got to do is go renew that certificate and everything will start working again. And I'll say, what Apple ID did you use to log in? And they'll say, oh, we use Dave's ID. Okay, then we'll need Dave to do this. Well, Dave doesn't work here anymore. So at that point, really the only option is to call Apple and beg, or you know, basically re-enroll all your devices. And on the first option, your mileage may vary. But essentially, the moral of the story here is that you want to create an Apple ID that your IT organization shares, stores the password to, so that when it comes time to renew, that's not a problem that you'll run into. So after you've one other thing I want to mention. In the Apple portal here, when you upload your certificate, it's immediately going to prompt you to download a certificate. It'll prompt you to download a .json file. That is not the correct file. That is a bug. So what you'll want to do is you'll want to cancel that download and just refresh the page, and then it will have you download the correct file type, which is a .pem. Intune won't let you upload the incorrect file, but that's just something to know that you'll need to cancel that, reload the page, and then download the correct file. All right, so once we've kind of done those three steps, they take all of 5 minutes, iOS devices are ready to enroll. And that certificate's how we communicate with iOS devices. So the next thing we probably want to do is we want to set up a group. So we want to, you know, basically create a simple user group that we can target for our policies and application deployments with Intune. So I'm going to call this one Ignite Demo. And I can do different group criteria here. For example, you know, I can specify certain security groups and other AD attributes to base my group off of. But this is a really simple demo. So I'm just going to directly add a member to the group. Okay. And that's all that there is to it. So now we've created an Intune group called Ignite Demo. It contains one user. And now we want to go over to our policies. And we want to create a configuration policy. So what is a configuration policy? Configuration policies are basically how I specify on mobile devices what settings, as the IT administrator, I want to set on that device. These are things like require a PIN, require encryption, disable a camera, all those hundreds of settings that we have for different platforms. So let's go ahead and create a configuration policy. And let's go ahead and create one for iOS, since that's what we use in this demo. And by default, we're going to create a custom policy. In a minute. All right. We'll give the policy a name. And we'll just choose a few simple settings here. We're going to say our device has to have a password. We won't make it alphanumeric. We'll make it simple for the users. We'll make it numeric. And there's hundreds of settings in here. We'll let you browse through in your own time. So we've configured a password. And then let's go ahead and just show how we can disable the camera.
So Paul, this is, you know, when we were talking about identifying requirements,
sure.
The key is to have your requirements identified so that when you're in the management console, you can select the things that you want, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you're working with your security department to, you know, kind of define what are their requirements for a corporate-owned device. And you'll have different requirements, whether it's a personal device or a corporate device, usually different PIN complexities, things of that nature. But, you know, it's really the same. You're just creating different groups in the console and different policies to target different groups. So we've created a basic policy here. We'll go ahead and save it. And kind of the next question I get here is, what's the difference in, and we'll go ahead and deploy it. And we'll deploy it to the group we just created with the user we just provisioned. So the kind of the next question I get here is, what's the difference in configuration policies and compliance policies? So you see here we've got a lot of configuration policies deployed. These can be, you know, you might create different configuration policies for different groups within your company that have different security requirements, email profiles, custom profiles, the mobile application management policies. These are all different kinds of configuration policies. Compliance policies, as you see, usually you have a much smaller number of compliance policies at your company. The compliance policies are really saying, hey, you know, we've enforced all these settings, but these are the very minimum set of settings that a device has to be compliant with to be able to get that conditional access to our resources like Exchange Online, Office 365. So it gives you one very easy place to go to and say, like, hey, these are the 10 or 12 settings I'm requiring to get access. Let's see. So next thing we want to do here is we want to turn on conditional access. So in this environment, we're using Office 365, so we've gone to the Exchange Online policy. And really, when you log into a tenant for the first time, this is what it'll look like on this page. And to enable it, all you really have to do here is check the box, Enable Conditional Access. And then you want to choose what platforms you're going to require conditional access on. So in this demo, we're going to do iOS and Android. And then the next question we hear from customers is, like, it's great, you know, in the native mail app or in Outlook, for example, you know, now we're getting this conditional access flow. Users are trying to add their email, and it's forcing them to go enroll in Intune and get compliant, and all that's great. But we've got some really sneaky users, and what they're doing is they'll just say, no, I don't want to enroll my device. I'm going to go to the web browser, and I'm going to go to Outlook web access on these devices. Well, now we also have the capability to block that. So this is what this is talking about here, the Outlook web access, so we can block non-compliant devices on the same platforms. All right. So with conditional access, we're not going to target Intune groups necessarily. We're going to target Azure Active Directory security groups. So in your environment, you know, once you've set up your DIR sync and your ADFS, these are likely groups you'll create and manage in your on-premise Active Directory, and they'll synchronize to Azure Active Directory, and then we'll target those groups for conditional access. We can also exclude groups. So, you know, you've got some flexibility there in the logic you implement. So we'll go ahead and save this. All right, so now conditional access is required in this environment. The next thing we want to do is deploy an application. So we come to apps, we click add app. This is going to launch the Intune software publisher. All right, so we'll start by choosing the right type of package for our deployment. So software installer, if it's iOS and you've got the IPA files, if it's Android and you've got the APK files, this is where you would point to those files on your system, upload them for deployment. External link, this is if you've got, if you want to provision a shortcut to your company's internal website, SharePoint site or something else like that, that's where you could specify a URL here, and that would be delivered to the mobile device. And then we have managed app for iOS. So we're going to go ahead and grab a link from the Apple App Store and deploy the most requested app at Microsoft. And then we're going to specify an icon. Might look familiar to some of you guys. We'll put in a publisher, a name for the app, and a description, and then last, a category to make it really legitimate. And to make sure everyone sees it, we'll make it a featured app and highlight it in the company portal on the device.
So Paul, this is really driving Intune deployment, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah, yes, this is great for getting people to enroll. Yeah. It is. Yep. Here you can actually specify this is only for iPad, this is only for iPhones. Some applications in the store are still, you know, kind of tailored to a certain platform, so you could deploy separate apps there. But that's it. And since this is just really a link to the Apple App Store and the icon, it uploads really quickly. And then we want to basically deploy this application. So right-click, Manage Deployment. And Ignite Demo. We're going to make it a required install. So if this were an application that required access to on-prem resources, this is also where we could associate a VPN profile with this application. So when they launch that application, say this is your managed browser, you're accessing internal websites, you want to establish that VPN profile so that it can reach those resources. But Pokemon Go does not need that. And then if you're doing those mobile application management policies that we've talked about this week, the cut, copy, paste type restrictions, those can also be configured here as well and associated with the device or the application deployment. All right? So now we've kind of done everything we need to do to get started from the admin console. So in your environment, you may do some more things. You may configure Wi-Fi profiles or VPN profiles, you know, things like that, or additional settings for different platforms. But you know, this at a high level is what you need to do to get started. So let's jump over and I'll show you what this looks like on the device from the end user perspective. If you'll switch to one for me. So the end user, they've logged into their iPad and you've given them instructions so they know, hey, I go to the Apple App Store, I search for Intune, and the Microsoft Intune company portal is what I need to download and use to get started. So they've downloaded it, they launched the Intune company portal, and this is what they're gonna see. They're gonna see, hey, these are my apps, I've got a device here, but there is an exclamation mark, this device isn't enrolled. So let's go ahead and walk through that. So it's saying the device isn't enrolled. And so this is really what's gonna guide them. It's gonna say, hey, you need to enroll the device, and then we need to make sure the device is compliant so you can get access to your resources. So step one, continue. It gives them a little information about it, why they're enrolling. And then this really helps out a lot. We find end users are sometimes scared of enrolling in Intune because they're worried about things like we can see their text messages or we can see the photos they take with their device, things like that. So this is really helpful. This helps alleviate some of those fears. Make sure when you write your end user documentation for enrollment that you're calling out things like this because this can be a really big stumbling block for companies. All right. So let's go ahead and enroll this device. So the device is enrolling. Let's see. Oh, we may have had a demo failure here.
So the enrollment process is they download the company portal, install it, they go through this process, and then they have the resources that are there available to them.
There we go. Yep. Yeah. So from the web page, it'll redirect, and it's going to say, hey, you need to install a management profile on this iOS device. So they'll click install, they'll enter their PIN. Install. Trust the management profile. And then it's going to redirect them back to the company portal. So now they'll see enrollment's complete. And at this point, the only thing really left to do on this device is to check it and make sure it's compliant with all the policies you've established or we established previously, like requiring the PIN, the passcode, and disabling the camera. So this checking compliance, this can take a few minutes, and we tell the user in the console, hey, you can leave this app, that's okay. Compliance will finish checking in the background, and that'll register with the Intune service. So let's just jump over to a device that's already a few minutes ahead of this one. So you'll see the experience. We've got the company portal. We've deployed the Pokemon Go app. We've deployed Outlook.
Wait a minute. There you go.
Oh, sorry. So as you can see on this device, we've got the company portal. We've got Outlook. We've got Pokemon Go, OneDrive. All our applications have came down. Our policies have came down. And a lot of times as the administrator, you know, if you deploy a very simple policy, the next question I have is like, well, how do I know my policy really came down? And that's really easy to do. So we'll go into settings. And we will go under general. And then under device management, you'll see this management profile, and you'll see it's from Microsoft because you enrolled in Intune. And then you can get an idea of the policies, and you know that the policies you've deployed have came down to the device because we can see, hey, an Exchange account's been provisioned on this device. We've deployed 3 managed applications like you just saw. Our restrictions are there. Our Wi-Fi networks are there. So this is a really easy way to check from the device. All right. And with that, that concludes my demo, and I'll turn it over to Robert.
Thank you, Paul. That was great.
Sure.
So hopefully everybody can see what the process is to get Intune Cloud Only up and running. It's pretty straightforward. The planning stuff we talked about is important, right, to make sure you're doing the correct steps and configuration. So now let's transition to Intune Man without enrollment. We're going to follow a similar process as we did with Intune Cloud Only. So we'll talk about prerequisites, setup, and configuration process. And then also we'll walk through the IT and the user experience. So from a prerequisite perspective, you know the things that Paul was doing in terms of the setup, adding the subscription and adding the users and the licenses, that's all the same that you would do for Intune Man without enrollment. Matter of fact, this setup that he did for Intune Cloud Only, you could use the Intune Man without enrollment together. The two things that are a little different is that for Intune Man without enrollment, it only supports the iOS platform and the Android platforms. And then also on the Android platform, the company portal app that you saw would need to be installed on the Android platform. The setup and configuration process is very straightforward. You have some of the things that we did with Intune Cloud Only, but the key area is this, is the adding and the signing of the MAN policies. So you add the MAN policy, you then select the applications that you want the MAN policy to be associated with, then you configure the MAN policy settings. These are settings that Robert's going to go through, but it's basically determining what the behavior of the application is related to data leakage prevention and access, as an example. So once that MAN policy is created, you're going to assign the MAN policy to an Azure AD security group. You'll start to see this terminology of assignment kind of very similar to what we would say we're deploying it. So we assign that policy then, right, to the Azure AD group, and then we're ready to go. So at this point, what I'd like to do is turn it over to Robert to talk about and walk through the experience of Man Without Enrollment. So Robert?
Thanks, Jeff. Hi, everybody. So I'll be walking you through the Man Without Enrollment's admin UI experience as well as the end user experience. But before I get too far ahead of myself, when Jeff, Paul, myself, and our team travel around the world and work with our customers, there are certain instances when, since we released this November? Customers are asking about, well, what is this MAN-WE thing? What can we do it? And I'll keep referring to it as MAN-WE, MAN without enrollment, vice versa. And so situations like, hey, I already have an MDM solution in place, but I see that my end users are trying to really leverage the Office applications, mobile applications on their devices, and we're not being able to control that. How can we go and make sure that the transaction that's happening between the mobile app and the service is being secure without having to get them to unenroll and re-enroll into Intune. And says, well, we can do that with MAN without enrollment because now we don't have to have you enrolled directly into the Intune service. Some other customers that I've worked with, primarily I work out in Asia, so I work with customers in Japan, Taiwan, India, and they'll say, you know, we're starting to roll out enterprise mobility management solutions right now. We're not exactly sure what to do at this point, but we want it to have it be a slow start. We don't want it to be like, you know, having to go out and tell the end users that you have to enroll a device. You know, we mentioned earlier before about sometimes the end user don't feel comfortable about enrolling, especially their BYO device. Bring your own device and enroll it into a service that's going to be corporate managed and has the potential to be like completely wiped if somebody chooses to do so. So they have that fear. In order to make sure that that transition isn't so harsh, make sure that we can leverage something like MAN without enrollment. But what if we don't manage that experience? What is that going to look like? Which is kind of an everyday scenario here. What I'm showing you is actually literally my personal device. I don't think I have any weird photos, so there's nothing to worry about, hopefully. So what we have here is right now, this is the native email application on my iPhone, and it's connected to Exchange. We can see here. And what I've done is gotten an email. So it's going through Exchange Active Sync and getting that email across to my native client, but this isn't a managed application. So typically what you'd be able to do, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, I have something in drafts that I can select all. I'll go ahead and copy this. And we could go to something like Twitter. Right? This is something you don't want from your corporate standpoint to be able to do. Yep, paste. Is it just not connected? Apparently not. So I was going to post this out, but essentially, if it's not managed, the application itself, the data is then transferable between corporate data, right? That's something that you want to be secure, over to your personal data area. So we can look at something like notes here, same thing. You can paste that information. And this is exactly what we want to prevent from happening without having to enroll the device. So we'll come back to this. So how do we make that happen? We'll go over here. So earlier in Paul's demonstration, you got to see the Intune portal, which was in the Silverlight console. And then Jeff also mentioned earlier that we're moving some things over to the Azure portal. And the MAM we settings are going to be done here in the Azure portal. So you're going to portal.azure.com. And on the left-hand side here, we've already pinned this to Intune. And once you go there, you'll see this Intune Mobile Application Management. Already up front, you're starting to see some information that's been populated, pre-populated. We have two policies that are pre-existing here. How is that being applied? We got some people that are using the policies. Some people don't have the policies working. But you know off top, you're deploying something out, and you're getting some results out of it. So it's not just information. It's actionable items, right? But we have two policies. Why don't we go ahead and create a new policy just to see what that process is going to be like? And you know what? If you didn't have to listen to me talking through every single process, you could start right now, and before I'm done with the first section, you could actually literally create a policy, deploy it out, and have this actually working in production.
So are you actually challenging them to a contest here? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, if you got that, if you got a tenant working for you, by all means, by the time I'm done, you could probably push out about five policies if you wanted to. Okay? So there are a couple of things, actually three things that I typically like to think about. I know Jeff mentioned the five steps, but I kind of group them up a little bit when you're pushing these policies out for MAM without enrollment. Again, you're not enrolling the devices, but you are targeting it towards an application and to a user. So you got to think about for what platform and the applications for those platforms. So I consider that to be one grouping. And then what is the end user experience going to look like? So any of the policies, if you've seen any of the sessions throughout this week that concerns about MAM, it'll probably be like cut, copy, and paste that you can or cannot do, which was exactly what we want to be doing on my device as well later on. And then thirdly, it's going to be who are you going to apply that policies to, right? So platform and applications, what is the end user experience going to be like, and then who are you going to target these these policies to? So we'll go ahead and create a new policy here. Here we go. And we'll name this demo because I'm absolutely so original. And you can have, so the first thing you want to talk about, the platform and the application. Did it freeze on me? It's not being very happy here. Let's see, function F5. We'll let it reload. So you'll be selecting the platform. We're going to select iOS because it's going to be for my iPhone. Right, and I'm going to do this demo with the Outlook app, so the email client, and making sure that that's going to be wrapped or managed in a manner that I cannot take information out of my email client to something like Twitter and tweet out company information, which absolutely you want to prevent people from being able to do. Well, at least I hope you would. So that's what I'm going to be setting up as we get this ready. And the network hasn't been exactly the best for us this week. Here we go. Okay, so iOS. I said you got to realize the platform and the applications. So we'll click on apps, select required apps. It'll pre-populate all the apps that are available for you to manage, right, without having to enroll the device. I think we have today now 15 Office applications. So I'll choose Outlook here. You also see box in here. This is something that somebody added. Rather than even box, but if you have line of business applications, and earlier I think Jeff mentioned something about app wrapping or including the application that you develop internally with the Intune SDK, that allows for that application to be app manageable, like MAM manageable. That's redundant, isn't it? Mobile application management manageable. And so you can add that, and the way you define it is going to be, it's still in preview right now, but here's a section that says line of business apps. Only thing you're really defining is the name and the application ID so that the service understands what application it is and then has an ability to control it through that channel. Okay, so the platform and the application, we'll go ahead and select here. So now it says we have the iOS, you have one app selected. So after we understand the platform and the application that's going to target, and said, what's the second thing we need to do? It's the user experience. Is it going to be that copy and paste is going to be, you know, only available within managed applications? You can't put it outside. Or are you going to require the end user to, you know, put in their credentials every single time? So it can be really seamless, or it can be cumbersome to the end user. That's really your decision.
So Robert, when you look at these settings, the data relocation settings, screw up just a little bit.
Okay.
So the first ones you see is preventing this backup right to iTunes iCloud.
Absolutely.
And then you see these next two that are, they're determining that the data that's in a managed application, whether it can go to a managed app or a non-managed, right? So it's kind of like you did the Twitter example, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right?
So these are the things that control that aspect, whether that information is going to stay within the managed applications. In this case, I'm only selecting one application, so it wouldn't go anywhere anyway. But if I had selected, and you're going to see later on, we're going to apply the policy of the ones that has about 13 applications selected. Within those applications, you can get the data back and forth because those are all managed. But we want to make sure that it doesn't get out of that confines. Some of these settings are the same on the Intune console and in the Silverlight, as well as MAMWE. Some of the things that are a little bit different and or really worth picking up here, if we look at access here, it says require PIN for access, yes. And we saw that Paul set that up a little bit earlier too. Here for iOS, allow fingerprint instead of PIN. So in lieu of putting in the PIN every single time, if your device allows for that biometrics to work, that you can allow this to be part of that authentication process when you open up the application. Now, when I was working with a couple of customers out in Japan, actually, they said we're starting to see a lot of end users bringing in their devices that's relatively new, and you can use the biometrics. And we've created the security policy within the company that says if you have a biometrics-able device, that we'd much rather you use that rather than having you punch in the PIN every single time. So in order to meet those requirements, we said, hey, look, we have something that's available here for you. So that just kind of made that story happen, which is great. And you'll get to see that a little bit later. One of the other things in the settings here that you'll see is that in the very bottom, it says offline interval before app data is wiped. Right, so one of the concerns you have from the IT or the management standpoint is, great, now the user has accessibility with some sort of confines and you're regulating that application to a certain the data to be confined within that application, but how long does it stay there? Right, so it does. You can have it to stay in the sandbox and have it cached there for a while, but if that user doesn't log into that device or into that application for a certain number of days, what it'll do is it'll trigger an automatic wipe of that corporate data. So if you think about a lost device scenario or a stolen device scenario, or even just somebody that goes on vacation for a long time and decides, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and not go back to work, this inevitably will say, if that person doesn't log in, that data is going to be gone. You're a little bit more feeling secure about that data being in that end user's environment. OK, so we'll click on OK here and go ahead and create. So that's. We've picked the platform and application, and we've kind of defined the end user experience, and I've created this here, demo. And you can see this says deployed status is no. So the last thing we need to think about is who are we going to target this to? And rather than waiting for it to drop down to the end user, we'll pick one that we've already kind of created and drop down into my environment. It has 13 applications. Let's take a look at those targeted applications. So we've got these targeted as MAM capable, right, without enrollment. The policy settings say along the lines of you cannot copy back and forth between unmanaged application and a managed application. As well, instead of the PIN, in lieu of it, you can use your fingerprint. So that's what we're going to see here. And the way to deploy this out, who is this going to target to? We saw it in the Silverlight console as well. When we're targeting things, we're going to Azure Active Directory security groups. So these are either ones that you created directly in Azure AD or ones that you're syncing from your on-premises. So we have Ignite MAMWE users, again, very original naming, who we're going to target. And that's going to be a profile I'm going to use over in my personal device. But before I get there, I just kind of want to touch base a little bit in terms of what we're seeing in terms of infographics here, which is pretty interesting. When we first started pushing these things out for MAMWE, we just had, hey, let's apply these policies, let's push it out, and be done with it. We were trying to take a more holistic approach around MAM in general, so mobile applications, not just management, but really understanding, deploying out what that's been effect in terms of end users, what are the return that we're getting on it, what are some of the actionable items that's going to be in here. So if you look real quick, it says 4 users have checked in with this policy applied. So it says, and actually it's targeting only 4 users, so all of them are using it, great. We've targeted 13 applications, but how many of those applications have been checked in and by how many users? And you look from the top here, you see Sky for Business all the way down to OneDrive, but you get something like Dynamics CRM, Outlook Groups, OneNote. We don't see any check-ins. We're pushing it out, but the end users aren't using it. That triggers a question in your mind of, are they just not using it, period, or are they just not using it in the mobile application platform? Especially in something like CRM, people are so accustomed to doing it on their PC, they might not realize that it's available on their mobile device and that's something they can leverage. That becomes an actionable item, and you can say, hey, let's make sure we do an announcement internally that says, hey, now you have the ability on your iOS or Android device to use Dynamics CRM and start putting in information, and you can do that securely without having to enroll your devices. Sounds pretty good to me. Actionable items. So end-to-end, we're not just pushing it out. We're having an understanding of how it's affecting the end user at the end of the day, so that you know that the actions you've taken as an IT administrator is being effective and finding out more ways to be effective, right? So we've had those things applied, and we'll go back. Let's hope we can get this to work correctly. So here we are. Earlier I was in the native app, but this time I've deployed out a policy for Outlook. So I'm going to go into Outlook. It's going to ask for my PIN, and because I've enabled it to use my biometrics, it's going to ask for my fingerprint. There we go, and I'm in there. Now this way, it says hello from Ignite. I have that text in here that I had before. This is part 2 of it. Copy. Expected behavior. If I go into an application that's not managed, I shouldn't be able to paste it. Let's hope it works. So the paste selection doesn't come up. OK, that one's good. Let's see, and let's go into Twitter. If we can get rid of this. Okay, just for sanity check, we'll go ahead and select this again, just so you know that I'm not cheating on this. I'll copy. I go to Twitter. This is going to be fun. This is what happens now in the iOS. You can select it. Come on. And you don't have the ability to paste it, right? So expected behavior. Now we're not getting any of that corporate managed data out into the public or even to your personal side of the applications. Screenshots. So we don't have that set up in here right now. Is that where we are? I don't think right now. So that might be a shortcoming that we need to take action on, absolutely. One of the reasons we would absolutely like for you to start testing some of this thing, and you know, I'm going to pass it on to Jeff in a little bit, but he's going to talk to you about next steps. For me, next steps is please start playing around with this, especially if you already have an account ready to work around with. And then you'll get something like, hey, what about this setting that's not in there? And we would like to generate that feedback so that we can continuously improve our product and service for you as well.
All right.
Okay, with that,
thank
back
you,
to you,
Robert.
Jeff.
Thank you. There's
nothing like live demos, right? So you guys, thank you for all the hard work on those demos. I know that goes through a lot. Okay, what if you learned today? You learned that deployment planning is important to me. No, it's important, right, to an Intune deployment project. You've learned about the end-to-end process of deploying the Intune Cloud only, and then also Intune MAM without enrollment. You've seen administrative experience, and then also the end user experience, which is very important. So hopefully this has been valuable to you. Now let's talk about some additional resources. The Intune documentation site, we've put a lot of investment in this. If you looked at this maybe a year ago and looked at it now, huge changes. We took the feedback you provided, and there's lots of information from what is Intune to how do you deploy it and other really drilled down areas into specific capabilities. We have the EMS blog now. So within the EMS blog, we have blogs for the other components of EMS, but of course, Intune. And then we have the Intune roadmap that will give you some guidance on where we're going to go in the future. And then Intune User Voice. How many people have used Intune User Voice, just out of curiosity? Okay, just a few. Intune User Voice is a website that you can go to request features. And we then take everyone's request and we actually show you the top 10 list of the features that are being requested. This is something we take very seriously and we look at every week. And in addition, if you're running into any issues and want to report bugs, you can do that through. By the way, you'll have this presentation, and these are all hyperlinks to these resources. And then finally, there's a lot of sessions, as I mentioned before, around Intune. If you haven't gone to these sessions, they're available on demand, and there's still some sessions that are available this afternoon and tomorrow. So I want to thank you all for attending. This is a little bit bigger than what we're getting at the booth, so it's really great to see. Hopefully it's been valuable, and at this time, we'd like to ask for you to fill out your evaluation, and then we can go ahead and answer any questions that you have. Thank you.